We'll be talking cricket this hour. And by we, I mean myself and my co-host for the hour, Adam Schneider.
How are you?
We'll get you on. How are you, Schneider?
Good, mate. Going well, thank you.
I was going to say no introduction necessary, but actually, you know, when you're a premiership player, you always carry that with you. So, of course, a member of the 2005 Sydney Swans premiership team and played in a grand final for the Saints, was a great player for both clubs. And Schneider, we're going to talk cricket. Did you catch any of the first day of the first test, the day nighter?
I did, mate. I watched a fair bit of it last night. I really enjoyed my cricket, so it was good to watch, and I was really excited to watch the night session, and Australia really stood up well.
Okay, we're going to be talking cricket this hour. Now, I'm going to run something past you before we're waiting to confirm exactly who we have from up at the Gabba, but it'll be a name familiar to all. Did you see the incident when Muhammad Amir did his knee?
I did, yeah. That was very clumsy, but that's just a bit of the turf these days. They can do that. And I remember watching it at the time and I thought, geez, that didn't look good. He might have done a real damage there, but he came back out and did well.
I've got another theory.
Yeah?
That's the worst misfield I've ever seen.
That's a fact. That's not a theory.
And I think he might have pulled the...
Get me off for a little bit, you
reckon? I've done my knee.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever you did... was sort of after you. That wasn't a Harbour Bridge. That was.
It was a
rolling to him.
But whatever happened, he went in the rooms for a couple of hours or whatever it was, and it worked. He come back out and was a new man.
Yeah, got some fielding coaching and felt confident that he could then stop the next one that rolled to him. That ball, it does move. But it just goes to show, first of all, you've got to put the ball in the right places. And secondly, when a test cricketer, and certainly Steve Smith's an excellent batsman, wonderful batsman, Peter Hanscombe looks as promising as anything we've seen in the middle order for a while. When they're in, it's hard to get them out, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And look, Hanscombe's a very defensive side of player who can really just knuckle down and mentally, you know, stay strong for the whole time, which would be probably the biggest challenge any cricketer faces. And Steve Smith's just a superstar, isn't he? You know, you come back out there and you bowl into him with a new ball. You think it's going to dart around a little bit. Next minute, he cover drives you for four, and then the bowler's got to sort of change their attack. But he's just magnificent to watch at the moment.
You know what both those men show, and that is that, and this is, there's a history of this in cricket, and that is that you work on all aspects of your game. Steve Smith was selected in the Australian team, firstly, as a lead spinner. And Peter Hanscombe made the Victorian team on the back of his ability to keep and bat. Now, they're both going to be top-order batsmen. Peter won't be given the gloves, quite rightly, because he's a much better batsman without it. He says as much. And, of course, Smith's one of the world's best batsmen. And for any young cricketer out there, look, when you're training, you love doing everything. But as you get a bit older, into senior cricket, you tend to focus. And it just shows that these guys, even once they made... one, the test team, and another estate team, kept working on their batting to the point of being world class.
I think you have to these days, don't you, just to keep up with everybody. So the more tricks you got in the bag, the longer you're going to last, and Steve Smith's the perfect example of that.
Now, there are other examples, but I've always said the second most effective search engine in the world is Google. Yeah. The best search engine is the SEN Listener. You just need to put a question to them, and you'll get the answer. So who are other players who were selected in... test teams, will say, for either batting, bowling or keeping, and found themselves recast and making a career not with their original selection. It's definitely happened before in cricket, but we'll leave it to our callers. We've got great prizes this hour, 9429 1116, if you want to call in, 0433 98 1116 via the SMS. Those calls will take right throughout the hour, so if you can come up with those, give us a buzz. Schneider, I want to talk some footy with you. And you had a great year with Bo Morris in B-grade amateurs. Good competition.
Yep. Yeah, good year. Last year was good.
The club has gone up to A-grade. And I didn't realise this because I just asked you as we were catching up before the hour whether you were staying with the Sharks. There's Sharks, aren't
there? The Sharks, yep.
You're more than staying with them, aren't you?
I am, mate. I'm going to coach them this year. So I decided to take the next level, and look, the body just couldn't hang on last year. I only played four games with the Sharks, or four or five, and due to an injury, which has been a story of my life. But I thought, you know what, I'm going to give it a go. I really enjoy it down there. It's a great club, great environment, great bunch of boys, and the coach decided to to give it up for the year after being a premiership coach, and they're looking for a coach, and you know, I decided to put my hat in the ring and give it a go.
Is your Kabaddi, Australian Kabaddi teammate, we're going to talk about that as well. Kabaddi, by the way, people, the sport that Adam Schneider, Stephen Milne and Campbell Brown represented Australia in. We'll find out where it happened. And,
yeah, great story that.
And the sport without a ball that is, look, it's foreign to us, but that doesn't mean it's foreign to the people who love it and play it over in the subcontinent. Milne, is he going to play on next year? He played for Beau Morris this year in the Premiership.
He did. Stevie Milne, he's won three flags in a row now after not having much luck in the AFL career. But
he was playing in the Ballarat football.
Yeah, went for Strathfield North, whatever they Strathfield.
Strathfield say.
That's it, yeah. So he went out there and won two in a row. And last year we convinced him to come to Bowie, and I think he was a leading goal kicker for the competition. And yeah, very, you know, very smart player. And we've got him around for one more year. He reckons he'll have one more good crack at it, and hopefully we can push for finals this year.
It's, A-grade amateurs is always a great standard, because with promotion and relegation, only good teams get to the very top of that tree. Throw in a lot of ex-AFL footballers this year. St Kevin's have added definitely Jay Schultz
and Jamar.
Mark Jamar.
So that's very frustrating on my behalf. I didn't know about this when I took the job on as coaching. But no, look, it's good to see. It just shows the standard of the competition is really going through the roof, having ex-AFL players wanting to go back there. I know Collegian's got a couple as well, and I just read Luke Ball and his brother are going back to the old Zavs as well. So the standard out there is going to be, you know, pretty good. And look, I'm trying to work on one or two ex-AFL players as well that I might have played with down the track to get down to Shark Park, but we'll see how we go with that one.
Well, Shark Park, that's, of course, Cronulla's home ground.
Yeah.
Well, it's premierships all around. Yeah. Look, Beau Morris is I'm involved with Ormond, and I just feel that these old colleagues, these old school teams, when a player goes to the school and goes back to play for his old boys, good on him. I'm not as convinced in the Ammos as to the how legitimate it is when they go out recruiting players not from within their school system, but it's allowed, and more power to them. I would say that a team like Beau Morris, as Ormond would strive for, being a suburban club, has every right, and at the height of their powers, which Bowie is now, would be a great destination. They've got the best junior setup in the world.
They do. They have 28 junior teams, so it's absolutely amazing how big the club is. Five senior teams this year we're going to have, and 28. So that's just ridiculous how big the area is.
Yeah, it's great.
It's just a small, great little community where, you know, so there's no school attached to it. So everyone's just sort of stuck together, and they're building a massive new sort of club rooms out there now, with the tennis court, the cricket club, the tennis club and the footy club will all be a part of, and it's just going to grow even bigger.
Women's team?
They do. Yeah, they've got a women's girls team coming in as well.
And that adds so much, I think, scope for the club in terms of getting young couples involved in the club, getting partners involved in the club, and just sort of the dynamic between the guys and the girls at a football club will change as the girls are out there playing footy.
Yeah, exactly, and it just brings them all together. And like I said, these sort of club rooms will be a big boost for them. There's little ones down there now, and there's people in there every night of the week. So it's sort of they lost a few pubs out that way.
They
all shut down, so there's nowhere really to go locally. So they all sort of come to the footy oval and have a few beers there.
Is the Bowie Hotel gone?
Yeah, pretty sure that's gone as well, yeah.
Amazing. Let's take some calls on cricketers who changed their specific reason for selection, their whether they were bowlers, batsmen or keepers, and became recast and made it to the highest level. Gary's in Berwick. G'day, Gary.
G'day, Finey. How are you?
Very well, thanks.
Richie Robinson, I think, was in the mid-70s by weight of runs. He was Victoria's keeper. He became a middle-order batsman for Australia.
Spot on. He went on a tour of England. He was also a great short leg, but he was very much a keeper who couldn't remove Rod Marsh. I loved Richie Robinson. His test career wasn't hugely successful, but he made a lot of runs for Victoria, and that's a really good call. Hang on to the line. We've got a pair of raw form seamless compression shorts. I reckon you could have used those during a few soft tissue shorts.
I did, mate. I had 18 hammies in the end and about 5 calves. So, yeah, I couldn't train without them. I had to wear them. Didn't help, though.
5 calves and 18. You should open a farm. Wow. Hang on the line, Gary. The raw form seamless compression shorts. Visit rawform.com.au. Mike is in Craigieboon. G'day, Mike.
G'day, boys. I'm just ringing. I'm going along with you, Viney, about that fielding. That was the biggest act I've ever seen to save his embarrassment.
And I mean, I was sort of folding over laughing and then thought, oh, very good, mate. You pulled the old heart muscle.
You notice all the boys in the background, they're all peeing themselves laughing. Also, I'm a 64-year-old bloke that's hardly ever played any sport in my life. The other day I took my older daughter's taking tennis lessons, took her to tennis lessons. The instructor was a bit late, so I decided to throw a few balls and her hit them back. Guess what? Tore a hamstring.
You're not from the Schneider family of Osborne, New South Wales, are you?
No, well, 64 years old and it's a first.
Well, yeah. I don't know if you're listening in the evenings, Mike, but Stephen J. Peake did a calf this year and he couldn't walk for weeks. And he did the calf. He went down to have a bit of a kick of footy with Troy Zantuck. Well, you sort of say fair enough. I mean, he never got to the kick of footy. He got onto the ground, decided to do a couple of little jogs back and forwards, and before the footy came out of the back of the car, he torn his calf.
The old man's job, the old man's injury, the calf.
Well, at least you haven't got the old man's injury, Mike. There's the good news for you. Yep. Thanks a lot. Actually, funny story about Peakey. I umpired, field umpired, and Stephen Peake goal umpired in a St Kilda Legends game they have every year. It's a bit of an opportunity for some past players. You played in it, didn't you?
Last year?
Yeah. Now, Peakey was the goal umpire. But, you know, the boys, St Kilda, were playing Essendon that day, and they were having shots at goal, as they do pre-game.
Yeah.
And Stephen was gathering the ball and kicking it back. Now, Stephen J. Peake idolises Roo. And he got a spray from Nick.
Yeah, right.
He said, kick the everything back to me. I don't need to be running around before the game chasing your shit.
Doesn't sound like Roo at all.
Well, it was fair enough because Peakey can't kick. And Nick's standing there just hoping for somebody to kick it back. And it's missing him by more than 40 metres.
Yeah, Rui's one of the people before a game you can't speak to or do. If you do anything to upset him, you're going to know about it, that's for sure. So, yeah, and the boy, that's the funny thing with Rui, is on a warm-up, if you do kicking with Rui and you miss him, the young blokes get that nervous, they feel that scared to kick it to him, so they don't even kick it to him anymore, they just stay away from Rui. It's part of the rules.
Peakey was petrified.
I could imagine.
Oh, he came in afterwards and he said, I think I may have put the captain off his game. Oh, God. We're going to take a break. We've got, there's a few great suggestions coming up for cricketers who were able to change the way they played and become top-level stars. Adam Schneider's in the studio. We'll be talking, sports of all sorts, because from footy, cricket, soccer, we're even going to touch on the great sport of kabaddi, or as I prefer to call it, who left the ball at home. A couple of weeks ago on Bush and the Burbs with Paul Daffy, had the good fortune, actually it was last week, to speak with Harry Perryman, a GWS Academy selection, much made of his abilities, but he's from your neck of the woods.
He is, yeah, out of Osborne Way, played cricket with his old man, showing my age there right now, but I remember Harry and his little brother as well were always there watching his dad play cricket, and they would have played cricket under the shed for a good 3-4 hours every afternoon just watching him. So he was a very good cricketer as well, Harry. He's been playing out at Osborne with cricket last couple of years. But
So he's from Collingully?
Collingully, yeah, just up the road. Their parents live there, and he played a bit of footy at Collingully and come out to Osborne to play cricket. So him and the young Kennedy from up there as well, they're all sort of local boys, and yeah, now he's got his chance at GWS.
I mean, this is real farmland, isn't it? When we say Collingully, certainly. I mean, maybe what makes up Osborne as a town?
No, we've got a footy oval, tennis court, and netball court. That's it. And a burnt down school. So no houses, no streets, no nothing. It's just a footy oval and a paddock pretty much.
Burnt down school. Obviously, at least one of the students who went there.
Yeah, my old man went there and he lived 2K at the road and he was the closest to it. But yeah, they got the better of it one night.
Yeah, if somebody didn't
have... Smart kid.
Somebody didn't do their homework. Let's go back to our callers. We're talking about cricketers recast. Jordan's in Fairfield. Good morning, Jordan.
Hey, guys. How you going?
Very well, thanks.
Good, yeah. I just had a nomination. He wouldn't have recast himself fully as a batsman, but he definitely became a very handy all-rounder in Mitchell Johnson.
Well, he, by the end of his career... He certainly could bat.
Yeah, definitely. Could hit a ball, couldn't he?
And nobody considered him as an... It's a good point, actually. Nobody would have considered him an all-rounder. It's it's always been encouraged that Australian bowlers bat with, you know, some courage. Even Glenn McGrath, he took his batting very seriously.
He did.
As much as the rest of us joked.
He wasn't very good, but he took it serious.
Well, he got that 50 that won him the bet with Mark Waugh, but he took it, and they take it very seriously.
Yeah, well, they do, mate. They're representing their country, obviously, and they probably think they're better than they are with the bat sometimes. But no, look, you need Mitchell Johnson was definitely one of them good ones.
If you can just get one of or two of your bowlers, look, I think Hazelwood bats at 11, and he can bat.
Yeah, he goes all right. Birds, he can bat too, can he or not?
Yeah, Hazelwood may be in the first test, but it's important. In fact, so important that Rod Marsh, when he was still chairman of selectors, said that was why Bird wasn't selected in the first test.
Yeah, that's right. It was too. That's interesting tactic.
Yeah, I don't know if it went down too well.
No.
Let's move to Anthony, who's calling on the road on a hands-free Weshaw. Good morning, Anthony.
G'day, guys. Ashwin from India. Started as a spinner, but he now bats 6 or 7. He's got 700s, I think, and I think he's rated as the best all-rounder in the world.
Yeah, he's got 3 test 100s, I think.
3 test 100s, right, yeah.
There is a slight fault with those test 100s. They're against the West Indies. Now,
yeah, well, doesn't count.
Well, see, West Indies bowling, maybe the top two are okay, but as we saw last summer, gee, it can fall away very quickly, and sometimes the fielders aren't all that engaged, are
they? Yeah, no, you're right.
But you're right. What a player he's been. He and Yasir Shah have really burst onto the scene. What did you make of Yasir Shah yesterday, the leg spin?
Yeah, not bad. Yeah, I didn't mind it. And, he's coming in and with the new first day pitch as well. I thought he did all right. He bowled a bit late too, didn't he, in the night session, and yeah, he was landing him okay. And yeah, I thought he did pretty well.
You could see on a bounce, leggies have got a lot going for them when they bowl well. The problem with a leg spinner is control, but he's got beautiful control.
Yeah.
You could see on a wicket that had some bounce in it, gee, they're hard to play. When they start bouncing up around your pads and your gloves and they sort of get into the hole, sort of aiming for your belly.
Yeah,
it's hard to play them. So later
in a test or on day 4, day 5, that's when they really can come in and do some damage.
And then it starts turning. How about the way Hanscom plays spin? You would not go to the subcontinent without Hanscom till he's 70, I reckon. He should be just booked in. Everybody said he could play spin, and he certainly can play spin. Thanks for the call, Anthony. Nick is in Mernda. Morning to you, Nick.
Morning, guys. How are you? Merry Christmas to you all.
Same to you.
You too.
Bit of a left field one, I suppose, but he's been in the media recently. Paul Rifle started as a not a bad bowler. Now he's an international umpire.
Yeah, good point, that one. I like it.
Trigger finger Rifle.
Yeah.
he was a very good bowler for Australia.
He was very consistent, the old pistol, wasn't he?
And there's been a few others having a crack at... There's a few former first-class cricketers who umpire. The bowler from Wilson from South Australia.
Yeah, Paul Wilson.
He's put on the black pants and a few others.
Yeah, a few in cricket. There's a few in football as well in the AFL, Lee Fisher and Lee Fisher.
Now, you played with Lee?
Yep.
And you were umpired by Lee?
Yeah.
Were there ever any moments? So just, you know, he's done very well. He and Bannister are good umpires. They're fine. But I just can't imagine that the odd smile or comment to an old teammate.
Yeah, you don't get time when you're out there. Yeah. I know, funny you say that. I did hear Rui give him a fair flogging one day on a footy field, but that's Rui. But yeah, you don't have too much time. You get caught up in that. You see these days, it's so quick. You just got to get on with it. As where cricket, you can probably spend a bit of time and give him a bit of lip, I reckon, if you wanted to, but not out there anymore.
And, of course, Fraser for Essendon and Collingwood, Mark Fraser umpired as well. He was popular at St Kilda. You know, he's a really popular kid, and maybe through injury and just things didn't pan out for a full footy career. Now, you had a long and successful career, Adam. Can you understand why a player who might feel that he was maybe a few years short of the mark goes into umpiring?
Yeah, not sure. I guess it's different interests for everybody, but I think he's a very fit person. You've got to be fit to be an umpire these days. They cover some territory, and he was always just loved his training and sort of that side of thing. So I guess if you love the game that much and you can still feel, you know, part of it, I think that's just another way into it to keep a part of it. When you think about it, you know, you've been an umpire. Imagine umpire on a grand final or boundary up on a grand final. You've got the best seats in the house, don't you? Mm-hmm. And it'd be pretty exciting.
Look, I love umpiring. I umpire in the Ammos in reserve grade, but you're very much still part of football. And it's the only way I'm 51 and going to be part of football is umpiring. And
yeah, exactly.
It's just important that umpires are shown respect, and we know at AFL level it's pretty good, and that needs to happen right across the board, right from the juniors up.
In a few years, I think the AFL will have full-time umpires where it's just their number one job.
You played with a lot of players through your career and against a lot of players. Is there one player that stands out that could never, ever umpire? Like, you know, Lee Fisher, Bannister, who would have known? But they do it well. There must be some players you played with or against. They will never umpire in a million years. Either they don't know the rules, they've got no respect for the rules.
Yeah, no, there's definitely a couple that come straight to mind. Barry Hall's one of them. He couldn't be an umpire. And then you got probably Stevie Milne as well. No one could understand him, I reckon, if he was umpiring. Because
imagine Milne umpiring. laughing at get out!
He'd have no chance. But look, there's a few that definitely wouldn't go near it because the amount of abuse they've probably given an umpire, they couldn't go that side of it.
Imagine Aaron Sandilands umpiring. If he bounced it properly, it would be magnificent.
He wouldn't have to. He'd just put his hands up and drop it. It'd be the same height.
Or just hold it. Jumping up in the air trying to touch it. If you've got any suggestions for the least possible conversion to umpire, we'll do that one off the SMS 0433981116. Gee, there are a few. There are some players. There seem to be some players that always felt that they were hard done by or should have got a free kick.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, and then you got your players who play for free kicks all the time. And, yeah, it'd be interesting to see them trying to blow the whistle.
Yeah, I don't think Lindsay Thomas would have the full support of the playing of the players if he umpired.
That's the first one that came to my mind anyway.
Let's go to Tim in Richmond. G'day, Tim.
How you going, boys? Merry Christmas.
Same to you, mate.
You too.
I've got Kevin Peterson. He was an off-spinner when he was in South Africa, then went to England, and yeah, he's a pretty good batter at the end of his career.
Now, I didn't know. He certainly bowled and continued to bowl throughout his career. If he started as an off-spinner, it doesn't... Sure. No, I'm saying that doesn't surprise. Look, the way into cricket for cricketers who are talented is not the defining feature. Hang on to the line. It's a really good call, Tim. And for you, we have got an Endota spa package prize, a 90-minute spa package, thanks to Endota. Solve all the hassles for gift ideas this year. If you are running late, then there's only one thing you can do to keep the lady in your life, if it's your wife, your girlfriend, maybe both of them, your guma, your mum, your sister, your next-door neighbour. If you've forgotten about it, last minute gift for your partner, just go to endotaspa.com.au and you know what? They'll have that delivered and somebody very happy. Hang on to the line. The players that, for example, Adam Gilchrist, he could have played for any country without keeping. There's no question, is there?
Open a batter for sure, yeah. But I think back on Peterson, it's a good point, you know. You see a couple now watching the T20 games. Glenn Maxwell, David Hussey comes to mind. They're probably bowl the first over in innings every game. They're sort of picked on that as well, but they're actually a better batter than picked for being a batter. So it is, like you said earlier, just important to do both skills you got and making sure you can do everything. And Kevin Peterson is probably one of them players I used to hate, you know, the perception. But when he come out here and listening to him speak on commentary and being mic'd up in a game, I thought he's been fantastic. Yeah, he's so smart. You can just see the way he picks a game and reads a game. So to have insight like that and just watch the way he goes about it, he's one of the best.
You know, this happens a lot in cricket because footy as well. There are individuals in team sports, and cricket is an individual team sport. It's both that have such a confidence in themselves and they just portray it, even as a commentator, you know, that he doesn't indulge in too much of that faux modesty. He's pretty honest when they're talking about his own cricket.
Yeah.
And you can just see that the guy would have never, ever taken the field without thinking that he'd be a match winner.
Yeah, sure.
There are those types.
Yeah, and they are. You need to have them types, don't you? They stand up when it matters most of the time as well.
Let's head to Rob in Noble Park. Good morning to you, Rob.
G'day, guys. Brendan McCullum. He came into cricket as a pretty average wicketkeeper.
Yeah.
Turned into one of the world's premier batsmen, both one day and test and 2020.
Hey, that is spot on. McCullum started off keeping, and he's going to be here as part of the Big Bash.
I'll tell you what, I think they'd be wishing he was still playing too. They need him back there, don't they?
Well, they did all right against Pakistan. They've got an interesting team because they've got good batsmen up the top of the order and some good bowlers, but probably seven of their players are world class and four swap in and out of the two. Not only Brendan McCullum, his brother started as an average spinner and is still a very average spinner. Rob, brilliant call. Two Bataki hams worth for you. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be eating. I promise we're going to talk kabaddi, because if you don't do it with Adam Schneider, there ain't nobody else to do it with. Schneider, I promise we'd talk about this mystical sport, kabaddi. If you could just explain a little bit what it is, how you got involved in it, and the World Cup.
Yes, mate, I can. I think you explained it the best I've heard so far. What did you say again?
It looks like guys ready to play a game of something and they forgot the ball and they said, well, just play it.
That's it. Yeah, it's the only sport I've ever played without a ball, which is interesting. Anyway, team sport. But yeah, look, mate, it was really exciting. When I got a chance to go over to India, the only way I got into it is I answered my phone. Campbell Brown gave me a call and said, what are you doing the next 3 weeks? Do you want to go to India? I said, oh, no worries, mate. Lee Montagna hooked me up. He said, Brownie's going to call. He's got something for you to do. So I said, yeah, let's do it, mate. And I rang Joey. I said, good stitch up, mate. I'm not falling for that crap. I've been around long enough. He goes, no, it's real. I said, all right. Anyway, so I got involved in that. Went to two training runs over here with a few people and then had no idea what was going on. Stephen Milne and myself went along for two 30-minute sessions, had absolutely no idea what we're doing. Next minute, we're on a plane to India to play kabaddi in a World Cup. Went to the first game and it was a big opening ceremony. Funny you say that, 200 million people watched the opening ceremony, which is bigger than the FIFA World Cup. So it was phenomenal how big it is over there in India. Got over there and it's quite a brutal game, but a very fun game.
So it's like Tiggy and British Bulldog.
British Bulldogs is the best way to describe it. The 7-on-7 on, say, a netball court size. One bloke enters into the other area and you got to tag as many of them as you can and get back over line before they push you out of bounds or tackle you to the ground.
Interesting.
That's brutal, mate. That's brutal because you have two blokes dive at your ankles, another two will come at your knees, then you have another two or three over the back and just try and get you to the ground. So, yeah, it's not the funnest game. Oh, it is fun. I actually love the game, to be honest. It's very tactical, very defensive. And look, when we played the good teams, we played Bangladesh, I think it was the last game. It was 88-8 was the score. And, yeah, I walked off pretty sore off that one.
Yeah, they certainly they've been on the receiving end of some thrashings from us in other sports, Bangladesh. Yeah, so yeah. I reckon they enjoy playing us in kabaddi. You're going to have to be no faux modesty. You're going to have to do a KP out of the three of you: Campbell Brown, Stephen Milne, and yourself. Who was the best?
Well, I'm not like Kevin Peterson, but Campbell Brown will tell you first up. He was the best. He was our captain. He had one mission, and that was to get sent off in the game, and he did. So, well, he got a green card.
So he's
anyway.
Been sent off.
No, so he got a green card. Good. You get two green cards, and you're sent off. So,
does that mean you can work in the US now?
I don't know what happened there, but Milne was really good. Milne was our best trainer by a mile. He dominated the training sessions. Come to a game, he got a bit gun shy and got tackled a fair bit. But I enjoyed it, mate. I had a lot of fun. And
who were the other guys? Were they kabaddi players?
Well, there was four or five Indian guys that live in Australia. Yeah, we got over there and our best player was one of the Indian players, and he wasn't a full blown Australian yet, so he couldn't play in the tournament with us.
Oh, pity.
We had another guy pull out when we got over there as well, so we were down a few men, and then there was just a few young guys floating around the footy leagues down here. So it was a great experience over in a town called Ahmedabad, which is about 6 million people.
It's just a town.
Yeah, it's 6
and it would have been great because, it's good drinking weather over there. So you weren't the best team, but at least you could have a good drink.
Oh, I wish, mate. It was a dry state. Who would have thought? You go away for 3 weeks on a trip to India. And I said to the wife, I don't know what I'm doing. I said, I'm not real keen to go. And she goes, you never go to India again. I said, yeah, you know what? You're right. So I did it. Thought it'd be a good getaway with Brownie and Milne and have a bit of fun. And you get over there and there's no alcohol. But the rule is, if you're an international passport, you can buy 2 liters of grog at the airport and take it in. You're not allowed to be seen in the streets or anything like that, haven't it? It's got to be in your motel only. So we said, all right, we'll save this till we have our first win. And we had Argentina and we celebrated pretty hard that night.
Oh,
other than that, mate,
2 liters.
Yeah, 2 liters of spirits, which is.
I was going to say, I bet you didn't get 2 liters of light beer.
no way.
Let's talk a little bit of A League. We've got a big one coming up on Saturday night at Amy Park. It is the derby between Melbourne Victory and Melbourne City, and former A League goalkeeper, Socceroo goalkeeper, one of our great custodians, and now a ripping commentator with SEN, Clint Bolton, is here to preview the game for us. Good morning, Clint.
Morning, Finey.
And we've got Adam Schneider in. Now,
yep.
The game is, everybody's talking about it. Everybody has an opinion of, straight up off the top, who and why.
Oh, man. Probably the toughest question you could have asked, to be fair.
Yeah, I thought we'd go first.
Look, expect a reaction from Victory after being absolutely smashed in round two. If I had to lean one way, I'd say Victory, purely because I think Kevin Muskie will have him just breathing fire this week. And I reckon it'll be another white-hot battle out there, and City's used to that, and they're good for the big games, so you can mount a case for them. But maybe if I had to go one way, Victory.
You'd have to say, if there's one huge change from City this year from last year, above and beyond, of course, Tim, it's they are now a very physical football team. In fact, one would say that they've added an edge to their game that does really tread a fine line.
Oh, fine line. No pun intended, Mark.
I think that's a great thing. I think it's going to be the hallmark of their footy going forwards.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with the recruitment, and the they've signed a lot of players that are big game players, big game experience. But importantly, whenever the football isn't going that well, they're up for the battle, and I think that's something the club has missed for a long time. But all the talk of being overly physical, I just think it's a load of garbage. Personally,
Luke Breton sort of takes up the takes. It's where the discussion starts. What do you say about his season and his approach?
Bratz, he's one of my favourite players going around. I love the way he plays the game. And he typifies what that team is this season. He's a quality ball player, first and foremost, and the majority of that team is. But also, he is a big part of the defence. And the high press, the way City defend this year, is a key part of their success so far. They have a high press, and like you said, it's physical. I don't think it goes over the line. Of course, on occasions, mistimed tackles and so forth, that happens, and that happens with every team. So what they're dishing out defensively, for me, is the baseline for any team that wants to succeed in the A-League. So I don't think it's over the top. I think what happens is coaches bring attention to it because they want an edge. They want to get in the referee's ear. And I think it's working to a degree. I think John Aloisi, he was in the media talking up Fornaroli and the way he goes down too easily. And since he did that, it seems like Fornaroli doesn't get as many free kicks. So it's, in a lot of ways, it's a battle that wages out in the media before the actual battle on the ground. And I don't buy into this overly physical stuff with City at all.
Now, Clint, mate, I'm a big fan of the A-League now. Wasn't sort
good
of a few years ago. But, yeah, look, it's just great to watch these days. And the crowds are starting to really grow. And, you know, great atmosphere when you're out of ground. Do you reckon, mate, in a few years with the growth of it and hopefully a couple more international imports, you can see some games at the MCG and get some big, big, big crowds out there?
I can't wait for the day that we have a derby at the MCG. I think it's only a matter of time. It'll happen soon. It's just got to, everything's got to fall into place. It's got to be the right derby, plenty on the line, and it'd be a great little experiment. The AFL might have something else to say about it. The cricket might have something to say about it. They probably don't want the A-League playing at the G, but look, we're on a good trajectory at the moment. It's key what happens with the TV deal, which is up in the air at the moment. That's being negotiated, so hopefully that plays out and the FFA get a good whack of money to reinvest, and A-League clubs can then reinvest and have a clearer picture of what path we're on and so forth. But a lot of things in the short term right now have to fall in place. So hopefully they do and we can grow, like you said.
Well, we're speaking with Clint Bolton, and I'm going to play fair here, Clint. As much as Melbourne Town is engaged and looking forward to the derby, these teams cannot take their eye off the prize of the home and away season, and that is finishing on top. And 10 games without defeat, your old boys, the team that you played so wonderfully for, Sydney FC, are just about at the point of breaking this elastic band. They're going to be hard to catch if they get any further ahead.
I truly believe that Sydney FC will finish first fast the post. It's a long way out still, but they're just operating with what I call ruthless efficiency at the moment. They're not the prettiest to watch. Sometimes they're very tough on the eye, to be honest, but they just get the job done. And Arnie, he won't care too much about how they get the job done, but importantly that they do. This club has been starved of success, and their most recent finals, the FFA Cup final, only a couple of weeks back, they lost. The A-League Grand Final in 2014, they lost to the Victory. So
yeah,
it's a team that hasn't won since 2010, anything. So that's a long time for a club like Sydney.
Yeah, probably have underachieved. And I say this, while everybody worries about Bowo and Olosko, watch how many games Carney and Prosk win. Thanks for joining us, Clint. And, that game on Saturday night, if you want to be there, make sure you get your tickets and don't be disappointed by being turned away. We'll speak soon.
Thanks, guys.
Clint Bolton played for Australia, played for Sydney FC, played for Melbourne Heart, and he tell you what, he was a pretty hard man to beat between the posts.